Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. You, my friends, are in for a treat. This is the final episode of Wargaming Recon for the 2018 podcast season. That's right, the last new episode of this calendar year as we wind down and get into the holidays. We have lots of winter cheer, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, in which case your toilet's flush backwards, so whatever. You guys, I think, are going to enjoy this. We're going to be talking about a variety of topics, but it's not just me. No, I am joined by the one, the only, the Mr. Golden Voice that you all know and love, Mr. Alex Kostopoulos. Alex, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
We're going to have to retire the golden voice. I like the golden eye reference. Like, it's kind of like a James Bond thing, but I don't know.
I mean, with the golden gun.
Yeah, right.
Austin Powers going a different way.
Yes.
Or I could say what has actually been told to me, which I've told you, but that's not appropriate for a family-friendly show.
Yes, I agree.
So,
why don't we move on?
Push that to the side. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy to be here. It's been a hectic week already, and it's only we're recording on a Tuesday, so I still have a lot of hectic ahead of me. But you know, not too bad, hanging in there.
You know, I think that's the word of the season: hectic.
It is.
Everyone has a lot on their plates, right? You're trying to get it all done. You feel a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. You're like, how can I do it? And there's not enough time to do it all in, right? And somehow or other, you try to make it work.
Yep, and we run the entire like holiday season, because we start with Thanksgiving, then we celebrate holidays, we have birthdays rolled in there, New Year's, in January we have our anniversary. Mm-hmm. So it is just like constantly on the go. And speaking of birthdays, when this airs, right around when it airs, it'll be your birthday.
Will it?
It will.
Now
everyone knows it.
I probably should have looked up to see when this is coming out.
Give or take, right?
I'm going to take your word for it while I take a few moments to tap away on my keyboard.
Well, I'll say this. If it's the last of the year, your birthday is so close to the end of the year, then either way, I'm right. Because there is not another episode until the new year, in which case we'll be past your birthday.
That's true. It is very close. Not quite at, but very close to my birthday.
Okay.
But to be fair, So I'm someone who loves birthdays. Probably more than anyone really should, because it's not like it's my accomplishment, right? I wasn't like, let me out of here, lady. Here I am. I didn't pull like an alien. Like, or I didn't do anything, right? I was just, here I am. But I love birthdays so much that not only do I celebrate my birthday, I celebrate my birth week, my birth month, my birth season. So we go all the way from beginning of December all the way to the end of winter. And the festivities keep on going on and on.
And what do you do to celebrate all these extended milestones?
Well, the question is, what don't I do, right? I get to do all sorts of fun and exciting things. For example, I'm recording this with you, but I'm recording in my new studio. So that was part of the fun, part of the prep work for new baby, but also because like I wanted this for a while. And so we started doing it, and I'm in it now. And my birth month, so that's kind of like a beginning of festivities here. And I'm doing some decorating and moving some stuff around, so those are like me kind of things. And I love winter so much. We celebrate Christmas here. Not everyone does, but we celebrate Christmas in my house. I love Christmas so much. So I really try to get in the Christmas spirit and go all out for that. The other day we put up one of those inflatable Christmas decorations and it's a Christmas dragon.
I did see that. That was pretty cool.
I love dragons. Yep. So
that's pretty cool.
That was a fun thing. Just like all that kind of stuff. This evening, my wife and my daughter were baking cookies, not for us, but for our other people. But like the smell of cookies was really nice.
For me?
Maybe. I don't know. Nice. We'll see.
I'll take that as a yes.
So like all that kind of stuff just brings me a lot of joy and happiness. And I try to feel oneness with all of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. It is a good season made better by your birthday, birth week, birth month.
Exactly.
Birth season, apparently.
Some of the best and people.
It was also a lovely depiction of the miracle of birth that you just laid on us as well. So thank you for that.
It's a very John Hurt moment.
I don't know what kind of moment it was, but it was something.
I could tell you, but because I've been told, but it's not a very family-friendly thing. I will say, though, that my understanding is being born in a military hospital in the 80s is very different from the sort of experience one would have in a civilian hospital.
Sure, sure. I can imagine. Well,
yeah. My mother is a saint. That's all I will say. But I think the best people are born in December.
Well, my daughter is, so I guess I'd agree.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Although I am partial to June. Yeah, because it's my own, you know.
Yeah, June doesn't count.
I'm not a big horoscope. Is that what it is? I'm not a big horoscope guy. But Geminis are the best.
Well,
I just say that definitively because I am one.
You're one of two, though, right? Because where's the other one?
Yes, that's right. You never know who you're going to get. The other half of me doesn't like Geminis at all.
As a Capricorn, which I never remember what that is. It's like half beast, half something or other.
It's like a goat man, right?
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
Satyr.
It feels like it's something that should be in the labyrinth. Like you get thrown down in there in Greek mythology.
Yeah.
And you go down the wrong corner and there it is. It's like going to maul you to death and
right
you can escape it. That would be an interesting dungeon to do for a game.
I'm sure it's been done, like a Zodiac dungeon.
Well, like, but with me in it as a
makes it interesting,
don't you think? How many dungeons do you play where you get to be the bad guy?
I play games like that so that I am not part of the game. That's the antithesis of the reason of why I would play a game like that.
Don't you think it'd be fun to just be like all evil? And although, to step back, I should be fair. We do not know if these monsters are evil. They could just be misunderstood.
That's true. It was your lawful paladin. I don't think that I represent evil very well. I'm chaotic meh, as you've said. So.
That is you.
Yeah, chaotic meh.
You know how sometimes characters are just represented by like a symbol or something like that when you're in comics and things? You would just be like the sound for meh. And it would just be like what that looks like. That waveform would be you. And it would just be in the thing.
Meh. Yeah. You know, it's good. It's all right.
It's not great. It's not bad.
It's not good. It's not bad. It's meh.
It's kind of there.
It's how I exist. I just in a state of meh.
You should do that in your podcast.
I guess I could be meh man.
Rogues in the house, everyone. Check it out. Two episodes out so far. Really? Yeah, good.
We got episode 2.5 because we've decided to throw together a strange numbering scheme. So we're the typical episodes, the normal numeric episodes are an hour and change. And then the other ones, the 0.5 ones, are half. See what I'm doing there? Half the duration. So we have 2.5 that will come out. It'll already be out by the time this comes out.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Are you finding that you're really enjoying the whole podcast thing and taking kind of charge of being a moderator?
I enjoy it. I don't know if I'm taking charge of anything. It's kind of
You're owning the moderator kind of role.
Yeah, I guess I do to an extent. Those guys are like encyclopedic though, so they're really prolific in what they know. So it's probably better that I just facilitate between them because their scope of knowledge far exceeds mine.
It's a fascinating topic that you guys cover, and I never imagined there would be as much to discuss about with it as there is. But apparently, there's a lot.
Yeah, so far there's at least three podcasts worth. So I'm hoping we can get at least four or five, and maybe more.
Many more to come.
Yeah, many more to come. No, yeah, we really do enjoy it. Between the three of us are chit-chatting all the time about ideas, so it's pretty exciting. And I think after we get ourselves a little more established, we want to start to bring some guests on and see how that does.
A year ago, would you have been able to foresee that you'd be doing a podcast?
No. No, this happened just totally on a lark. And in fact, I credit them. I think I might have been the one that said, hey, we should do a podcast, because the three of us had just been kind of chatting constantly about the whole sword and sorcery genre. And I think they're the ones that said yes, and then really motivated the whole thing. So, I mean, you know me, I probably would have said it and then done nothing about it, because that's, again, sort of my MO on things. I'm an idea guy. I'm not an action guy. So, you know, but they really sort of propelled it, and they said, let's just get a date on the calendar. I think Logan is probably like highly date motivated. I think he was the one who was like, we got to get this on the calendar. What's the date we're going to do it? And then we all just sort of followed suit, and here we are. So no, a year ago, I would have not have said that at all.
Now, I think it's interesting because you and I have talked a lot about how you feel that you don't do a lot of gaming, whether it's wargaming or any type of gaming really in general. But I think it's possible to be involved with the gaming hobby without actually playing a game. And I know that's a radical thing to say, but I think an example of it is how you do your podcast. So that you have to spend time dealing with aspects that would pertain to gaming, whether it's concept or pulp or research kind of stuff, whether it's like fan fiction or actual reading about it or researching rules and looking at how you play some of the games that you guys have talked about, because you did that whole episode about sword and sorcery with like role-playing games and all that kind of stuff. And so just kind of diving into that, and maybe you don't actually roll any dice as it were, but you still have your toe in the water.
Yeah. I guess I agree with that. If there's probably a subculture for gaming, wargaming, role-play gaming, any of that stuff, where that subculture is people that read rules. And that's probably like 60% of what they do. I read more rules than I'll ever play. And, you know, I think it's one, it's a book. I think a lot of people like to just sit down with a book and sort of read the lore or the rules and think about the mechanics. And two, you know, a lot of these games require other humans, and they're tougher to play with another human in terms of coordination and getting everything together. So rules, you know, you think about how badly you want to play something, you read the rules and you say, oh man, I'd really like to play that. And then hope that it comes to fruition someday down the line. But by then you're a rules expert. Well, in theory anyway.
Yeah, that never happens to me.
Yeah, no, you're good about it though. The ones that you're passionate about, you dive in and you read in depth.
See, I'm all about finding someone who will know the rules inside and out.
Oh, I know that.
And suggesting that they absorb that and then teach it, so that when I have a question, I can just say, "Hey, talk to so and so," or "What does this say?" Like, I never want to remember what I need to roll in order to hit.
Yes, you like the raise all ships method. Everyone benefits if somebody else does the work for you.
But like if you think about it, right? And whether this is if you're a party leader in a role-playing game or you're doing some sort of grand tactical strategy sort of thing, Black Powder or whatever, if you're the person in charge, you're the wizard in charge, you're the man in charge, you're the general, right? You're not going to be like, okay, so I'm going to send this unit or these guys over there on the flank, but what do they need to do to be effective? You're just going to be like, this is what this unit is. They're veterans. They're whatever. They're, you know, the experience. They know what they're doing. They need to go and do this and accomplish this certain goal. You're not going to worry about all the minutiae about, well, first they got to go here and then they should duck if they see anyone. And then like, you're not doing that because you're at a much higher level of it. Like someone like a squad level kind of thing. Sure. If you're the guy in charge, then maybe, but like if you're overarching sort of thing, like, and that's how I view myself in that, like, I just want to be like, okay, this is what we need to do. So I'm going to figure out how to make things go into effect. Yeah. Maybe it's going to blow up in my face, but that's right. Okay. So like, I don't need to know, like I need to roll 14 dice. Three of them need to be fours or better. Otherwise, the whole plan doesn't work out and it goes poof. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't need that. But I do need someone who has that information.
Yes, right. You're like, squad leader, go tell me what I need for this.
Yes.
Yeah. Go tell me the roll that I need. And then I say, well, you get a roll like 3 threes. And then you say, ah, well, I did it and failed again.
Exactly. Which would exactly be what happened. Because
that's usually what happens.
the arrow flies back and impales me in the eye.
Oh, so, well. But I think, I don't know. I mean, I will say that I think for some of the games that you really really enjoy, you're pretty well versed in the rules.
I mean, I'll read them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a question of too how rules heavy a game is, right? I mean, like Travel Battle, right? You like that one, and you knew that one pretty well.
Sure, enough. We'll go with that.
No, I mean, you taught it to me.
Yeah, but see, if you remember when we played it, right? There were a lot of things that we weren't so sure about.
Yes, but that's natural. That's like a
is a 4-page rule book.
Well, okay, that's true.
In little, like, it's like a miniature size.
That's true. All right, well, never mind. You're pretty terrible about it.
I am pretty terrible. So I think part of it comes to, and I'm going to blame my kid for this, which is probably a terrible thing to do as a father. So I don't have a whole lot of time to actually sit and pull open a book and dive into it. And I find with rules, the type of learner I am, I need to read it. But then I need to make notations. So I actually really have to like read it several times. I have to dive into it. I have to make notations for what I think stuff means because I think things through differently than most other people. So I'll look at something and I'll be like, okay, that's not what that means. Like it means something else. And I'll find like I'm the guy you want to break your game basically because if you need someone and you think like this is never going to happen, I don't have to worry about what this rule means in whatever situation. Give it to me. I, through just on my own, will find that situation, be like, wait, why does it do this? And like, you'd be like, oh, wait, you're right. This has happened, but it shouldn't happen like that. So when I look through the rules, that's what I'm doing. And I don't intend to do that, but I'm looking for what's wrong, what stands out. I'm looking for that square peg, trying to go into the round hole. And so I'm making all these notations and it takes a lot of time to do that. And then a lot of it comes from, I need to play it over and over and over and over again, because then I'm picking up little things here and there.
Sure.
And without having time to do that, we come back to the people factor. But without having time to just sit with a book, it's harder. So like I've tried eBooks and I don't have that whole tactile thing of, you know, like physically making a notation on it. I'll make them separately if I can, and then they get lost. I almost now, because of my time factor situation, I wish you could get rule books as audiobooks, which sounds really dumb, but then I could listen to it over and over and over and over again. And it would be okay. It's kind of like when we did the miniature wargaming episode and we talked about the movie and I watched it a few dozen times. Again, like I home in on things that to me stand apart and whatever it is, whether it's rule book, whether it's something else, that's what I'm going to look for. And as such, I'm less likely to find something that's going to bring me a lot of joy because of that. Because I'll be like, well, wait, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't seem to work. But I can only do that if I have the time to like absorb something multiple times.
Sure. Yeah. I like the idea of audio rule books. And specifically, I would actually be on board with that. I don't think that I would buy it as a combo, right? If you could get the book and the audio for two reasons. One, I've noticed I listen to a lot of audiobooks due to my commute. And I've noticed that when I'm writing, obviously I have the time to listen to it. So I enjoy that. Gets me my reading time in, quote unquote, reading time. But I've also noticed that when you read alongside an audiobook, the little things that creep into your brain that distract you for those half seconds here and there when you're reading, they don't do that. You kind of stay riveted with what they're saying and you read at I read at a faster pace. So
I think you're right.
Yeah.
When I first got into podcasting, one of my huge problems, especially when it came to editing, was I like to have music or something going on for me to listen to. And with audio editing, as you know, with podcasting, you have to really focus on that and pay attention. So I'd be trying to do that. But at the same time, I would want to have music going because music helps me concentrate. So I would really zone in on things. But then I'd have that disparity. So I'd get lost in the music, but then I wouldn't get the audio editing done. So it'd be a problem. But with an audio book for rules, I think it would work. And I think you should start recording some.
Oh yeah, I'll start reading rule books. No,
you can start with your own. Yeah. And I suggested this way back to Henry Hyde. It's not technically a rule book, although he has rules in it. But his Wargaming Compendium, it's a physical hardcover book. For people who watch the video, I have it behind me on my shelf. You can see it's a big red book. He then released it as an ebook as well. And I said, hey, you should do an audio as well. And at one point he was thinking about doing it. I don't know if he's actually going to or whatever. It's been a while, but I think it would do well as an audio. I think the real problem with rule books though, as audio format, is a lot of them have imagery that you need to rely on.
Yes.
And I don't quite know how you translate that, but by the same token, there are literally graphic novels from blind people. And I've never listened to one, so I don't know how that works because it's an auditory thing. So I don't quite, a graphic novel, you need the imagery. So I don't know how descriptive they are for what each panel is for a graphic novel.
You'd have to buy one to find out.
I guess so. It strikes me as odd.
You're mentioning that. And one thing that I had actually thought of, and this, I'll put this out there for the community to chew on. It's not something that I've ever done, but I did think at one point it'd be cool to do, is podcast or audio record your battle reports.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if there's a big like community that does that or a group of people that do that. I mean, you see the video ones, of course. And especially I'm thinking of a few people in particular who write wonderful narrative work around the battles that they do. That stuff should be recorded and then put on either a podcast or even just on YouTube as audio with the imagery. That would be really, really neat.
Well, you know, actual play podcasts are, well, actual play anything is really huge, but actual play podcasts have been a thing for a long time, primarily with role-playing games, though.
Yes, so, but that's what I mean. With role-playing games, they're all over the place, but I don't know of too many people that narrate a battle report / narrative of the campaign.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. And I think part of the difficulty is if you have people play, it's hard enough to get people to agree on a time period and on a faction to play for a game, sure. Whether you're doing like Warhammer 40K or whether you're doing a historical like a Bolt Action or Test of Honor or whatever. I think just getting people to show up with the stuff and they're concentrating on the game. Usually I think people are playing when they're at like a convention or a game day. So then being able on going up and like, okay, hold on. We need to have, like, you'd have to have a third person or a fifth person, as it were, to go around and be like, here's the mic, and what are you thinking, and interview people as they go along, or wear lapel mics or something.
I think I would go about it differently.
Yeah.
And I think you could even do it solo play, or you can play with people, but it's really about taking copious notes, I think, as you're playing, and then going back to your desk and sort of writing a narrative around it, and maybe not talking about, the thoughts of the players so much as the, you know, and then the right flank, you know, whatever. I got nothing right there. But again, I'm thinking of the wonderful campaign that Ian, a friend of mine, does with his sort of a War of the Roses campaign, where each commander had their own personalities and the cowards were truly cowards. If they fail their morale tests, they would perhaps retreat. And he would spin narrative around it, and he would actually write something. So I would imagine these would be relatively short podcasts or short recordings, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, with a little bit of narrative. But I think that'd be a really neat thing to listen to.
Are you thinking more like a short story kind of thing as opposed to an actual battle report?
I'm thinking kind of a hybrid of both.
Okay.
Something that's never been created.
Are you familiar?
I'm thinking it out as we're going.
Well, are you familiar with White Dwarf magazine?
No.
Games Workshop. So Games Workshop has this magazine, White Dwarf. Mm-hmm. And way back in the 90s, they used to have, and they probably still have in the newer ones. I haven't looked at them in a long time. But in the 90s, they would have battle reports every so often. So they would have the two sides, usually people who worked for the company. They'd play a game. And then they would have one or more third-party people who would be observers who would take notes and would actually write up the battle report. And the battle reports wouldn't be literally a case of unit A moved 6 inches, you attacked unit B, 4 people died, 3 on the other side died, or whatever. They would construct it in a narrative form because that would be more interesting to people. So the people playing would move, you know, unit A 4 inches, they'd attack, four people would die and so forth. But it would be written in more of a pulp or a fan fiction-y kind of approach.
So I think that's more what I'm sort of digging at. You know, instead of talking about moving 4 inches, the troops advance amidst the fog, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know, could be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I don't think anyone is currently doing that. And even the stuff you see as videos, I don't think they have as much of that dramatic effect to it.
Right.
I think it's really like
turn by turn.
Yeah, this is what we did turn one, and like the stuff moved. And they, at minimum, you might have imagery or a photo of what it looked like at the start of turn one and then what it was at the end. And then maybe like a recap of what happened. But it's very statistical and cold, I guess, I, for lack of a better word, just kind of very matter of fact.
And you might even, as a, if someone took it up, you might be able to marry the two together.
You could
provide some narrative pre-turn, then get into the mechanics of the turn, and then do narrative out of the turn, essentially, and sort of go turn by turn through that way.
At one point, I wanted to do something similar where I was aiming more for the video, but it would have been easy to pull it out and just do audio, where would have recorded a game being played, maybe not the whole thing, but sections of it, so that there'd be some video for different, for each phase of a turn, and you just kind of compile it together, and then in post would narrate over it for what would be happening in it and so forth. And it ends up being a lot of work, a lot more than one would think. So
sure,
didn't get very far.
Right. Well, the video especially, but I do think that's why I'm saying audio wise, I think it could be.
No, but even the audio, because it, no matter what, you still, even if you're not recording stuff at the event, like you said, taking notes might even be more time consuming and difficult. Yep.
And you have to write narrative and of course all that. I mean, it's all, it would certainly be a lot.
It would be interesting if well done.
Yes. So I don't know. We'll see.
No, I think that should be your next project.
It's not my next project.
I think that should be your new show that you do.
Maybe.
You should branch out.
Maybe someday.
Do it as a monthly release.
Do you know the other idea that I've always wanted to pursue that I don't think I'll ever be able to do, but to run a role-playing / wargaming campaign. So imagine we'll do American War of Independence, just to pick something, right? You do battles, right, in a traditional war game fashion, and then perhaps there is some level of side missions that happen that are done on an individual basis rather than, you know, a squad by squad or unit by unit basis that you could do an RPG through, and you play a captain or something like that who's put out to go, you know, scout out a, you know, supply train or something. I'm just throwing things against the wall right now. So you do an RPG session for that, and the events all tie together, leads up to another battle. So you play that as a war game, you know, and sort of narrate the campaign that way. I always thought that would be cool too.
That's an interesting hybrid.
Again, I've never heard of anyone doing it. I'm sure someone's probably thought of it and probably has even done it, but I've never seen it.
No, you could definitely do that. Yeah. And it wouldn't even take a lot of work.
No, I think that's actually easier than the other idea, the battle report idea.
I think you're right.
You just need some people who are really dedicated to the theme and to the genre, whatever it is you pick. And I think the more, I really think anything would work. I think you could do World War II really, really well too, and have, you know, some plans fall into the wrong hands, and now you're doing an RPG event where you have to go, you know, on a sort of like 5-man squad to go get them, to go retrieve the plans. And then, you know, then somehow the narrative ties into a larger battle and you run like a squad level battle.
I think that'd be interesting to do with a weird War II setting. So you would really get the nice fusion of historicals. So you'd have the whole World War II thing, but then you'd, with weird, are you familiar with Weird War II?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you get all like that Cold Red Skull kind of stuff. Then you can actually expand it out into like the Marvel Universe if you wanted. But then you get the whole horror things, a little Lovecraftian maybe if you wanted. And you just kind of, I think you'd have a grander appeal to people with something like that. You could obviously definitely do it with just pure historicals, or not, sci-fi, fantasy, whatever. There's so many properties actually that could work. Star Wars, I think, would be brilliant with that.
Yep, that's. I think it works on a lot of levels. I actually like the superhero idea, like the weird war concept, because you really could do a supers RPG, and then suddenly you're playing a larger scale combat where a Captain America type is running around handling units while the units are fighting units as well. Yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
The nice thing with that is there's already really good rule systems in place.
Sure. So
some people already have like a World War II kind of thing going, but you could easily do like a bolt action. And then if you wanted an RPG set, Jay Libby from Dilly Green Bean Games he's well known for his superhero role-playing systems that are G-Core. And they're really accessible, very fun and friendly and easy to do. So you could marry them quite nicely, actually, and just get that going.
Yeah, and absolutely. It would be two different systems, but the same arching campaign with the same players, just willing to all have that kind of buy-in.
With Star Wars, you get Legion. You can actually tie that in. If you want to do space stuff, you get Armada, you get X-Wing, and then you have the Star Wars role-playing game, too.
That is crazy. That's really, really
so you, in depth you there. In yeah. All of those, depending on where it's going.
Space battles, land battles, individual, you know, Jedi battle type thing.
And you for the campaign map, you could use what's the name of a rebellion? You could use the rebellion board game as a campaign map to just kind of have everything. And I think people have wanted to do say versions of this in the past, but I would imagine the sticking point is really finding a set of rules that would be appropriate to. I think people think you have one set of rules, right? Like one ring to rule them all. You'd have one set of rules to rule, and you can't. So then I think people try to create their own, and then they get stuck when they're trying to create these things and blend them or modify. You're better off just going with something that exists.
Yeah, I look at it as a overarching campaign using multiple rule sets for the purpose that you're calling up that day.
Yeah.
So that has been something long on the back burner in my mind. So you're going to tell me that should be my next project now?
I think you should move that up. I think it sounds pretty exciting.
That one's pretty cool. I want to see somebody do it. Someone who has more time than I do.
You should do a proof of concept.
How about I play in someone's proof of concept? I'd be happy to play in that game.
I bet it would be fun.
I bet it would be too.
Do you know? Really cool. So that's something you could actually do where, so like some people play and I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it. So some people play, it's Pathfinder. They do for role-playing. And there's that world that you live in where basically no matter where in our real world you go to, if you pick up and play a game of Pathfinder, it takes place in this core setting. So you have this core background. And I can't remember what it's called. But they do it at
Total Con. It's like the same thing as like Adventure League.
Almost kind of, yeah. Total Con does a Pathfinder one. They actually have their own version of it that they've been allowed to do, and everything set in the 3.5 Pathfinder for Dungeons and Dragons. But almost having something like that would be really useful, so that way you could just kind of plop and do it as, even if you didn't have the same group, you could have any group come and do it and run it at conventions, at game days, at whenever you had a chance, so that way you don't have to worry about carrying the same players. Because I think that's a problem when you deal with any of these campaigny kind of things. I think you need to have automation in there to cover for when people can't be there.
I think it's called Pathfinder Society.
That's right.
Yeah. But then what's your complementary war game that you would use in that setting?
Well, with that, I mean, that would be that's more of a high fantasy kind of thing, right? So with that,
or something like that,
you could easily do Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yep.
They get the Lord of the Rings strategy game that GW's doing, Kings of War. You could do Age of Sigmar. You could do the old Warhammer Fantasy and just kind of theme the stuff that way. Or you could even just, I bet you could do it without a whole lot of work if you wanted to do historicals. You could do it with Vikings and Saga.
Mm-hmm. So I would argue that something like Warhammer would not go as well, because you'd really need you'd have to homebrew it a little bit, because the way I envision this is that you might be let's say a solo unit in the war game aspect, and you then, not that you couldn't do it, but you'd be proxying like your guy for something else, or making up your own stats within that game. And I think I always get the sense that Warhammer is a little too stringent with their list building and that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, they have a lot of characters in it, and they do have the Warhammer role-playing game. It's, I mean, it's older by Specialist Games, but that does exist. And so you could have it be a case of where you're whatever he is he's the unit leader. So like on the strategy board with all the miniatures,
right?
The unit leader, and that's how he acts. And when you're in the role play, you would use the unit leader stats and modify it for whatever you've accomplished in your adventuring, as it were.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Lots, and doesn't, that's not even to say that you have to play the same character either. If you're telling an overall narrative, you might have players play different things based on what part of the narrative you're trying to tell.
Yeah. Have you ever played Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I'm here and there. Yeah.
Okay. So for people who haven't, Assassin's Creed is a series of video games set in different time periods throughout our history, but it's actually a game that takes place in the future where you are on the run, as it were, and you get hooked up with these underground kind of people. And there's this war brewing between these two factions of the Assassins and the Templar Society. And you basically get strapped into this machine and they go through memories of your ancestors who belong to, you know, one of these factions, and you relive their memories throughout history, and you do combat and that kind of stuff. But it's basically like a body jumping kind of thing. And you could easily do that with this, where like whatever the role is, you just jump into a different character and to portray whatever you need to do. And depending on the setting, that would actually be a great, like if it was a sci-fi setting, you could actually build that right into it.
I think in that series too, they may have abandoned that concept a little bit. I don't know.
It's not as in your face with the new one. I can't remember the name of it. The
Odyssey.
Yeah, because they did the one in ancient Egypt, which kind of moved away from it a little bit. There wasn't so much in your face. And then the Greek one is even less.
Yeah, and I think the pirate one might have it very less as well.
Black Flag.
Yeah, but I've those are the ones that I haven't played. I played the first one, but I know that it's like 7 or 8 now. There's a whole bunch.
I love, I can't remember what the number is, but I love the one when you're in Florence. Like you learn a lot about medieval and Renaissance history and stuff. It's very well done.
Yeah. It's cool. That's a cool series. I enjoy that series.
It is. You have to think about things differently. You have some puzzle aspects, which are kind of nice. You get some combat and fighting, stealth, and you have clues and there's questing. So you kind of get the role-playing aspect. You get a little bit of everything kind of going on in there.
And you get to assassinate people.
You can. Or you could not, too. I don't think you can complete the game without killing anyone, but you can mostly not kill people if you want.
Right.
Kind of like Fables, I think it is Fables 2. You can, you know, do the how good are you going to be, how bad. You have that whole morality thing. Or Red Dead Redemption has it as well.
Speaking of which, when we get into the new year and Adrian gets back on land, I definitely want to run our Western RPG game.
You get that going.
The one shot.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And we need to do Dungeon World as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We play Dungeon World.
Well,
I like how after we did the podcast, we promptly stopped playing Dungeon World.
I thought about that the other day. I was like, people really liked that. Well, people who listened really liked it. Some people didn't, and I don't blame them because we did have that warning that there was adult content. I think it was basically some adult-only language. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't anything too bad. It was a few bad words.
No, not it wasn't anything terrible. But I know because of that, and I knew it would happen that some people just wouldn't listen. But people who did, they thought it was one of our best episodes that we've done.
Well, it was all you.
That is so not true, but that's okay. I just sit here and I talk at a mic sometimes.
You facilitate. But yeah, no, we definitely need to get back into gaming.
Dungeon World was good. This time of year, it's hard though, right? Because, I mean, we talked at the top of the show about all these things that are going on and how to try to make it all fit and everything. I find for me, one of the things that I have to do is, like I had said, I have to broaden my scope of what I consider being involved with the hobby. So one part would be like, for me, when I did all the stuff in my new studio, like I knew that would allow me to talk about the hobby, that would allow me to actually do some stuff in the hobby. And so like that was one way, or like I'll do more electronic gaming and do things on Steam or on video games and that kind of stuff. So it's not necessarily the same kind of like tabletop stuff, but it can kind of feel the desire for it. Like today at lunch at work, I was playing Ultimate General Civil War, and I was doing some Gettysburg on there and things like that. So like it felt like I was moving models around a table and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You've been doing some gaming too, I believe.
What are you thinking that I'm doing? I'm curious.
Well, I'm thinking you're doing a variety of gaming, but I might be wrong.
So a little bit here and there. I told you about this, I started a D&D group a little bit at work. So this is we've had a few games now, I think maybe three over the past 6 months or so. So it's not very regular, but people got to me and started saying, want to play. So we played, and that's been the thing that I've been running the most, I guess, which I guess three times over 6 months is not all that frequent anyways. Then Dungeon World, like we said. What other gaming am I doing? Like I said, I'm reading a lot of rules, I think.
Well, I believe you've been doing some mobile gaming.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes.
That counts.
So, we started with, it all started with on the Switch, the new Pokemon game came out that my daughter is in love with. So then I offered to play Pokemon Go on my phone so that I could help her catch more Pokemon. And that game is very addictive, as it turns out. So for about 2 weeks now, I've been diligently collecting Pokemon for her and enjoying it in the meantime.
Now, how have they married those two? Because I used to play Pokemon Go when it first came out, and it was very standalone.
So you can transfer it. So they're standalone still. But what you catch in Pokemon Go, you can transfer to the Switch version of the game.
Okay.
So she doesn't get my best Pokemon, but she gets the ones.
Wow, some dad you are.
Yeah. Well, you know,
Pokemon kid.
Gotta still be able to play the game.
I suppose so. But in Pokemon Go, you don't really need great Pokemon. You just eventually wear them down and.
Yes, that is true.
A Pokeball at them, and eventually it takes or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, get to spend coins for better Pokeballs.
But they have like gym fights now.
Oh,
so you go to the like a Starbucks might be a gym, and it'll have they have three teams: red, blue, and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a team, if the gym is owned by something other than your color, you then take your squad of Pokemon and you fight them against the squad that happens to be at the gym from other people that have put them there. And you either win or you don't. And if you win, you can take the gym over. So it's like a world domination thing.
But then what happens?
You take the gym or don't.
Yeah. But let's say you succeed and you overcome it. It becomes your color gym. What does that do for you?
Oh, you get rewards and experience and all that stuff. And
okay.
It feeds the game loop.
I wasn't sure if it was just like, yay, I won, and then
no. You get items and rewards and like I said, experience, and all that generates certain criteria that then spawn more Pokemon for you to catch. It just feeds the game loop. It's all part of the game loop.
Okay. It's been a very long time since I played.
Yeah, it's not just walk around and catch them. And
that's what it was.
No. It's actually like. I'm not going to say it's the world's best game or anything, but it is a game where you go to a place and you can fight your Pokemon, and you have a sense of pride with your team, and you take the area. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Okay. And you get to help your kid out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. The office building that I work in is a gym.
Oh, okay.
So, but it always stays the same color. So we don't do a lot of fighting there, but, I do know a few people around the office building that have Pokemon Go. And occasionally I'm on the blue team, but occasionally someone on the red and the yellow will flip the gym and then immediately goes back to blue. There seems to be a lot of blue players.
You should be on the other side so you can try to swap it over.
So I had thought of that after the fact. I don't know that I don't think you can switch. You may be able to, I haven't looked into it. Unfortunately, I think I'm locked in.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'll live.
I'm told you need to make sure you go to different locations, though, to try to get the other stuff. So you need to make sure you go to, like, the beach so you can get some, like, really cool Magikarps and Gyarados, and then go at night. You can get some ghost Pokemon.
I've heard, nighttime is ghost Pokemon. I've heard things like places like Stonehenge will spawn, like, very rare mythic-type Pokemon. I'm really actually very intrigued by the coding like the level of thought that they've put into the game itself, to the point that, you know, where you have this sort of like the globe is your, essentially your playing board. And if money was no object, right, you could go to Stonehenge, ignore the legendary monuments and catch Pokemon there. I was thinking about it. I was like, if I ever go to Stonehenge and I catch a Pokemon there, someone just needs to take my phone away from me, period, and like throw it into the ocean. I should not be allowed to have one.
I wonder how close you have to be. Like, can you be on the other side of the roundabout behind all the crowds, or do you have to be like right next to it for where they come? Or
I'm not quite sure the proximity that you need to be to Stonehenge. But you know, another place like Disney World, I hear, is another one where you can catch Mythic. That one's not so bad. I would have my phone out in Disney World. It's not the end of the world there.
I bet there's a YouTube video about it.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure that I try not to read too much about it because I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I'm putting that much time into it. It's better if I don't learn about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what else do you have planned as the year winds down?
Well, I mean, it's more about what I have planned as the new year winds up. I want to get, like I said, I want to get our Old West one shot going. I want to actually continue D&D at work, which is probably going to be a regular thing for me. I'd like to try to ramp that up a little bit. I'd like to get Dungeon World back online for us. I'm talking with the guys on the podcast. Very seriously, we want to do a sword and sorcery game, whether it's D&D or some other system, probably hopefully in the first part of the year. I don't know. It's heavily role-playing for me, I think.
Well, it usually is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
There's nothing wrong
with that. I always feel bad coming on here and being like, hi, I'm not going to do any wargaming.
So that's the thing, and we should talk about this. I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, but we should talk about this because I think there's a misconception in your head where you're not thinking appropriately.
Okay.
Okay, I'm glad we agree. Okay, well, that was quick and easy.
What is it?
So I think you are so locked into the name of the show that you completely miss the tagline.
Yes, that's true.
In the whole description, right? And that, and that's, you're not the only one that has tripped up a few other people, or more than a few, I'm sure. So the wonderful thing about that is it allows all sorts of conversation to happen, right? So not only is it historical, right, but it's New England gaming. So anything.
Yeah, anything I do is okay. That's because gaming. I live in New England.
Exactly.
So everyone has to deal with that.
And I tell you, that's come in handy more.
Yeah. Once. Yeah. So, going back before we shift gears, I'm going to put the challenge out to Mike Payne to do the campaign table, the tabletop RPG.
Oh, for Hang High. Do it.
Yeah, for Hang High. I think that he's in the unique position where he's basically has the campaign already built, and he could do it on the table, and then it lifts very easily to a one-off session here and there in our RPG setting.
And you know, I'm going to say he's kind of already done it, but
yes,
I don't think it's going to match what you have in mind. So for people who don't know, Mike Payne is a superstar game master who's created this whole world based off real world Shanghai, the 1920s-ish pulp gaming era. And he's made it his own with these fictional characters. He's scratch built almost everything on his board. It's like, I'm getting the dimensions wrong, but it's seriously like 20 feet.
I was going to say about 20 feet. It's like
table space, right? Table. 20 by 6, 20 by 8 or whatever. But he changes the layout every time. And so much stuff there. You have a variety of terrain, you have a variety of equipment, and it's an open world in that you can do almost anything you want. And almost anything you see on the table, you can interact with and use. There are hidden things like crates that you can find, and they give you special abilities. Maybe they're magic abilities, maybe they're extra weapons or ammunition. You can drive the cars, the boats, you can shoot the stuff. There's planes, there's hidden lasers, there's monsters. And depending on who's playing in the game and how he's deciding to do it, because he created his own rules as well, you can go more towards the strategy kind of side of things, or you could then shift towards more of a, and I'm going to say role-playing game, but it's not technically role-playing, but like a role-playing-ish kind of game.
Narrowed. Right?
So he does that blending depending on his mood, and he tends to go more towards it being a miniatures game with that whole like you can do anything free form kind of sort of thing. Right. For those who are familiar, like a Red Dead Redemption or whatever. So you just kind of have that and you're playing in that sandbox, as it were, mm-hmm. and doing whatever, as opposed to having this strict, like, here's this unit of whatever. But even then, you do still have units depending on what faction you're playing and things like that. And it's a lot of fun. He does it with kids, which is kind of cool. So you can, I think doing something like this with kids would actually be more appealing because I think they're going to have more buy-in.
Probably, maybe.
But I think you're right. He's an ideal person for it and he should do it.
There you go. You got a challenge has been called. Go ahead, Mike.
He can absolutely do it. He really could. You're basically doing it already, Mike. Just with a few tweaks, you can make it happen and make Alex happy.
Yep. Make me happy. That's what it's all about. Make me happy.
Make Alex happy. That should be a show. Make Alex happy. What do we do? Behind door number one. That's what you got to do. Neat. I hope to see it in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah. Well, what are your game thoughts for the new year?
I have none.
Yeah. Well, you got a child coming. You're exempt.
I do. No, I actually, it's weird. I expect to be doing more gaming in that I have the space. I would show people, but I can't because we're doing this, but I have this whole space to my right on camera, whole table that's set up and ready to go for just about anything. Although this time of year, my wife takes it over to wrap presents, but it's there. I have games I need to play. And I could just, like the other day, I was like, I'm going to play something. So I pulled out some stuff and started playing. And because it's not used really for anything else, except for this time of year, I can leave stuff out for extended periods of time. It's great. And just kind of do that. But then like I'm using the space too for all this stuff. If I want to do unboxing videos or if I want to do actual play content or do video recordings and things of that sort. So I can do a variety of things. But I think like that, and I actually expect with a little one that I'll be able to do more by playing like electronic games and things like that.
Cool. Very good.
But I think otherwise, really the big things for me are going to be going to a convention, going to be going to Huzzah, which you said you're going to be going to as well. So that'll be really cool. We can all get together and play some games up there in Maine. That'll be a lot of fun.
Huzzah!
No, you mean it's such a good convention. A lot of fun. In a lot of different things to play, actually. They've brought in the scope.
I hope to see it. Do.
Yeah, you will be there. Beautiful South Portland, Maine, across from the Maine Mall. At the Doubletree Inn. Is it terrible that I have this memorized?
No, it's good. Makes you a good host.
So I've been listening to a podcast, actually. I listen to a lot of podcasts. House? Well, that is one, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. I've been listening to one called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And I'm a big Conan O'Brien fan. And the whole premise of his show is that, you know, he's been in the show business for so long and there's all these people, but it's all like professional relationships that none of them are like true friends who just get together and have a drink with or invite over to his house. And so on the podcast, they have people over and it's a comedy kind of podcast. And he has a segment because they have to have sponsors, they have to have advertising, but he has a segment called Conan O'Brien Pays Off His Beach House. And the thing is like, he's spent too much money on this beach house and now it's not worth as much. So he has to, you know, pay it off by having advertising. And it's him and his assistant. And she's really funny because she's a straight man to his comedy troupe. And so he'll just start reading like an ad for like Bomba socks or something like that. And he'll be like, you know, I was just thinking today that while I was having my breakfast, it's really important to know that Enfilade is the largest historical tabletop wargaming convention west of the Mississippi. And I heard some guys talking about that as we walked down the street and that they have their gaming at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. And his assistant's like, really? And obviously his is scripted, but hers is not. Like, she's just going and she calls him on it. So it's very humorous how he tries to portray the fact that he's just reading ad copy that's given to him. And then like he forgets almost that he's reading ad copy. And so he's just riffing off her because the whole stand-up comedian kind of thing. And he's just playing off her, which is really funny. She's like, I don't think that's what you're doing. I think you're reading the ad copy in front of you. And he's like, no, no, no. But did you know really that beautiful Olympia, Washington is? And he'll just go off and make some really funny and memorable ads as opposed to someone just being like, yes, so today in like the best like you know, Ben Stiller voice. This is what we're doing. You should really get these dice from your local game store because they are the best dice ever. Blah, blah, blah. Like, that's just, I don't know, that doesn't work. It's funny.
We'll do that in the new year. We'll do a little more riffing.
With the ads and the sponsorships. Yep. Yep. I should say, actually, since we're talking about ads, this just kind of popped into my head. I was telling you about the ad that I had to do where I had to do the ad in the voice of a pirate.
Yes.
And it was awful, but it was a lot of fun. I ended up hearing from the company and they were quite pleased with it. And they said they get a new game coming out, but they're not going to make me do that in the voice of anyone. And I forget what the game's about, but the new game.
Yeah. What's that? Voice. What is that in? What's the genre? Or?
Oh, I don't remember.
Period genre.
It's something funny, but they like the pirate voice. And I was like, it's terrible, but I practice with my kid.
So I haven't heard the pirate voice yet. Could you do it?
Oh, no. I'm not a monkey that dances on stage.
I guess I have to listen to the episode.
You might, or you might have to spend $5 for a tweet size message, now that you mention it, and have your message aired on the day. One thing I did learn, though, is that I have to be clearer in what I will or won't do. So it just had a line that said that, you know, they're subject to review or whatever, and that we refund the money if we don't hear your ad. It never said that I won't do voices.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I thought that was
I bet it was good.
They liked it, and I had a good time doing it, and that's what I liked. Oh, okay. Next game is called War Monkeys.
I don't know the voice you would do for that. But.
I figured there'd be a lot of ooh ah.
You just did it. There you go.
I mean, that's what I do with my toddler. We read a book about a monkey, and I'm like, oh, wow, monkey does whatever. I don't know.
War monkey.
War monkey. I'd be like, oh, wow. I don't know.
Lovely.
New behind-the-scenes content for our Patreon backers, where you too can become a backer for as little as $1 a month. Less than a cup of coffee, you could join the community. It's funny how you can find ways to get all these things to link in, like buy our merch or subscribe. Smash that subscribe button on YouTube and on... It's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. That was an eye-opener for me recently. They no longer call it iTunes.
I didn't know that either.
I mean, there is iTunes, but the podcast is Apple Podcasts.
Apple.
Google Podcasts. It used to be Google Play. Mm-hmm. Now it's just Stitcher. It's not Stitcher Radio. They're changing all their stuff. It's hard to keep up, as you will find out.
I probably won't find out because I don't even know where I would look. I would just keep saying the same thing.
Well, like, I mean, you'd have to learn, right, for your show? You'd have to do all the stuff to keep up. And, like, when I learned, I got all excited when I learned that Wargaming Recon can be listened to on your Amazon Alexa device.
I did think that was pretty cool.
I was like, oh, my God. I geeked out on it, and I wanted to put it out there. But then I was like, oh, I should show people how to do it. And I had mine just up on the kitchen table. I'm like, I'm not doing it in the kitchen because that was dumb. I had to do a thing. So I was like, oh, I got home early one day. I had it all this. I'm like, let's shoot it. So I had all these lights around. I was really geeking out about this thing. And I wouldn't shut up about it for days. Like, I was telling everyone at work, I was like, do you know what I did yesterday? Guess what? And I know they don't care. But I was like, whoa, you really got to check this out. And I was telling my wife, and she's like, you told me already. And I'm like, yeah, but did you know if you say? And so then I say it. And then we have one in the living room. And it was like, fetching most recent episode of Wargaming Recon. And she's like, I don't want to listen to your show.
You know, I understand where you're coming with. It is really exciting when you find these little things. I don't know, like when we got our first episode on iTunes, I was like, oh, yay, so cool. So I can certainly understand. I could certainly understand what it feels like to be like, Alexa, play my shit. I mean, stuff. Sorry.
Well, you can do it too on... if you have an iPhone or an Apple device, Apple TV, I think it works. And I'm not going to do it. Well, no. So, because it'll work for yours too, actually. So if you say, and I always forget the name of the virtual assistants for each one, but if you Apple's what, Siri? So if you say, hey, Siri, play Wargaming Recon podcast. And I don't because I hate that podcast app. But if you had it, it would start playing it.
Interesting.
So you could do, hey, Siri, play Rogues in the House. And if you had the podcast app on your device, it would start playing. It'd be like, okay, play most recent episode or whatever.
Interesting. I'm going to have to give that a try.
You should do it. So when you're, because you have an iPhone, right?
Yes, I do.
So when you're in the car, you should just be like, hey, I'm not going to say it because my phone's going to start dinging at me again. But you should be like, hey, iPhone device virtual assistant, play my thing.
And play my thing.
It should work. You should say, pretty cool. That's what you should do.
I'm going to give it a shot tomorrow.
You should absolutely do it.
Yeah.
And then let me know how you make out.
I will.
Cool. Well, I think we've chatted about all sorts of things. Do you have other stuff you want to discuss before we wind things down for the end of our calendar year?
Well, I just want to wish everyone happy holidays. I love being on the show. It's cool to come on here, and I'm glad you all tolerate my shenanigans. So I hope that everyone listening has a really nice holiday season. Stay happy and healthy. See you in the new year.
Meh.
Or not. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. You do whatever you want. It's Big Lebowski.
I mean, whatever's fine for you. See me if you want to see me.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I'm here or not.
Maybe I will be here. Maybe I won't. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll you'll be here.
Maybe.
You'll be here as much as I can entice you to come back.
Yeah. Well, I try to be more flexible.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think people enjoy having you on. They're tired of me.
I'm tired of you too.
Yeah, I would be as well. And I live with myself. It's crazy.
I know.
I think we've done a lot of really interesting and fun things this year. We have more coming for 2019. And actually, although this is the end of our recording year, it's not actually the end of episodes you're going to get. So we still have two best of episodes that'll be coming out to cover during our break. We tend to take half of December off, last half of December, first half of January off. But with the baby coming, that'll probably change and be gone for a longer hiatus. And that'll all come to you on our social media. So you really, 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 really need to make sure that you are connected with us on Facebook and or Twitter, whichever you prefer. But we'll have updates on there for how that's going. So if you're an audio only person, you're going to have to make the switch or just not know when we come back, because that's where we're going to put it. So that'll be some adjustments there as well. And the best of episodes, just be like before, they'll have whatever the episode was with some extra content in the beginning. So you'll still get a little bit of new stuff in there. Maybe not a ton, but you'll get something, make it a little interesting. But otherwise, this is the final episode of this year. Final new episode, I should say. And then we have 2019 coming whenever we come back. And I don't know when that'll be. I want to say middle of January, but maybe it'll be February. Maybe it'll be March. I really have no idea when the episodes will begin.
I'll check in with everyone in the meantime.
It won't take too much time, though. We'll be around.
We'll be around. It'll be sooner than you think.
Yeah, probably.
You have bills to pay.
I do. We have sponsors and we have agreements and just we want to give good content to everyone and give you guys and ladies an enjoyable listening experience for what we do here. We've been doing it for a while and we are dedicated to doing it for as long as people want to listen, as long as we have quality stuff to say and do, and as long as there's money to make it all happen, we will keep on doing it. So that's what we have planned. And that's all we have. So I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas. Hanukkah already happened, but a happy Hanukkah, Christmaka, Festivus, Wintervale, whatever you celebrate, winter solstice, this many different things, or whatever you don't celebrate. Maybe you're like, I don't want to celebrate anything. Forget all of you. Get off my porch. Whatever that is. Just, I think winter's a magical season and I love it so much.
And happy birthday.
Why, thank you. I do love my birth season and month. There's so much to go on. A lot of fun. I know, I'm like a kid. I do love it so much. But who else can say that they have all these fun things that are happening? Like it snows and you can just have so much fun in the snow. It's enjoyable.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, if he enjoys both his birthday and Christmas.
I suppose he would, unless you don't believe in him. But and if you don't, then you're like, oh, who's that person?
I mean, the same could be said about you. If no one believes in you, then you don't exist either.
That's true. But like Tinkerbell, if you clap really hard and believe with all your heart, we'll be back for another season. Remember that from Peter Pan? No.
I'm waving you on. That was like a good segue. You should have went out with that.
I believe.
I was waving you home and you didn't take it.
No, we never do. That's okay. Thank you so much, Alex, for being on this episode and for agreeing to come back in the future and also saying that you're going to be at Huzzah in 2019. That'll be a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Let's see how many of those things I actually deliver on.
All of them.
Hope so.
It'll happen. It'd be a lot of fun. Thank everyone who's sponsored the show, who's listened, who's been on. We've had a variety of guests and co-hosts and covered all sorts of games. And it's been a wonderful season and a wonderful year for us to come to you with all sorts of content. And I don't know what it'll be, but we'll have more good content in 2019. Well, thank you again, everyone. And Alex, do you want to promote your show before we wind down to the credits?
You know, I will. You guys can always check me out on our podcast, Rogues in the House. We are on, apparently it's now Apple Podcast, Google Podcasts, all the major fantastic podcast stuff. You can check us out on Rogues in the House on Facebook. We have a cool little page there. We offer up a lot of cool sword and sorcery links, little tidbits of news. Sometimes we throw together little adventure hooks if you're looking to some role playing, but primarily we are the podcast. So you get on there, you subscribe, hit the like, give us reviews. That's always nice too. That's us, Rogues in the House.
I think you're on Anchor as well for those who want to stream you as opposed to download you on a podcast.
Yes. The actual webpage is, it's an Anchor is our service. And if you come to the Facebook page, you can get all those links.
Cool. People should do it. I'm a big fan of you guys and enjoy what you do. And people should check you out.
Thanks, man.
Well, thank you everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon. Be sure to join us on Patreon. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't. Smash that subscribe button. Ding that bell to get our video content, whether you're on Facebook or on YouTube. We have videos coming at you there, all sorts of different video content in addition to our audio podcasts that's happening here. All sorts of stuff on social media. We're on all the things. That's right. All the things everywhere, whatever they are, the front door to your house, your miniatures, your painting set, whatever they are, we're everywhere as Wargaming Recon. You can find us there. We have all sorts of stuff going on. And until next year, we hope you stay healthy, happy, and you get to spend the holidays with the people that you care deeply about and that you love and who presumably feel the same about you. And until then, remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're thinking, darn, I really need to make a hybrid strategy war game and role-playing game and monetize that thing. You know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit WargamingRecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.